Good morning, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful that you're here. We're so thankful for the time that we have to be with one another. We're thankful for those songs led by Brother Jeff and the prayer from Brother Terry. We're always thankful for those men and those services that they provide. There's many challenges to the Christian life. We don't have to go too far. We don't have to read too far in the Bible. Too many of Christ's teaching before we find ourselves challenged in ways that perhaps we didn't expect to be challenged when we started our Christian journey. But there are many things that we read in the Bible that certainly challenge us in various ways. And certainly, Jesus' teaching on our enemies is certainly one of those. We have many challenges that we go through in the Christian life when we start to see how God wants us to handle our family. When we start to see how God wants us to handle government. When God wants us to handle our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Certainly there are many challenges that we face in the Christian life. Areas in our life where we need development, where we need reflection, meditation, and perhaps sometimes correction. And loving our enemies is certainly one of those aspects that I think that we have to consider from time to time as one of the biggest challenges that is before us as Christians. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." You know, when I look at that statement, love your enemies, perhaps I can get you to think about that just a little bit different this morning. As I think as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have different personalities. We have different attributes, we have different strengths and weaknesses. And when you look at love your enemies, what I can say is I think that brothers and sisters in Christ, some of us struggle with the enemies part, and some of us struggle with the love part. And I'm going to try to explain that this morning, is that as individual Christians, we are not the same. And as we approach Christ's teachings, not that we approach them in a different way, but we approach them in a different way as we approach them as an individual, as we reflect on ourselves. And certainly as we consider love our enemies, I think some of our brothers and sisters in Christ struggle with the enemies part a little bit more than they struggle with the love part. And some of our brothers and sisters in Christ struggle with the love part more than they do the enemies part. And that's what we want to look at this morning, is loving our enemies the way that the Bible wants us to do it. So we're going to focus on group one. The group that I would say sometimes struggles with enemies. Well, Kyle, what do you mean that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ perhaps struggle with enemies? And some of our brothers and sisters in Christ believe they have no enemies. Have you ever thought about that? The Christian life is not an easy life. In fact, it's not painted out as an easy life, but sometimes I think some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, they float to the other side of that love your enemies, and they start to have some thoughts like, I have no enemies. I have no worries. You know, after all, I'm such a kind, loving, helpful person, I have not a single enemy that I can name. And what I would say is if you fall on that side of the spectrum, I would caution you, because I think the Bible actually teaches us the idea that Christians will have enemies. Is that even though we live the Christian life and we try to love our neighbor as ourselves, as we try to do what is good and right, as we try to do the things that Christ wants us to do, eventually you come to this point in your life where sometimes you have to take a stand. You know what? When you take a stand, that's a lot of times not very popular. In fact, in our society, it's kind of got this new word on it, this new label, offensive. Well, that's offensive, your belief. That's offensive, your stand. But we have to consider these things. Certainly we're to be a loving people. Certainly we're to be a kind people. Certainly we're to be a helpful people. Certainly we're to love our enemies. But if you're sitting here this morning and think that you have no enemies, I'd ask you to look again. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 it says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If we're suffering persecution from an individual, I would say that individual could fall into the category of an enemy. But it says those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We don't have to go too far in Christ's teachings until we see that as our relationship gets closer to Christ, we have a more distant relationship with the world. Those who are not following Christ are going to be in opposition to us, not because we're not loving, not because we try to be loving, we try to be kind, we try to be helpful. It's not really that. It's not the issue they have with us. The issue they have with us is that we are following Christ. that we are trying to apply His teachings to the best of our ability. I think the Lord talks about this relationship in John chapter 15. He's talking about His relationship with the world, and then He starts comparing our relationship with the world. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I have said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." You know, you think of that interesting dynamic. If there was an individual that was perfect, an individual that should have had no enemies, should have had nobody coming to bring a charge against, it would be Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus says, as I travel through the plane of life, trying to love, trying to help, trying to be kind, trying to be, you know, do all the things that are good and right, not a charge to Jesus' name in relation to sin, and yet He says, the world hates me. And if you decide to follow me as well, the world's going to hate you as well. In fact, He kind of gives the reason, if you continue on in the passage in John chapter 15, if you go down to verse 22, He kind of gives the reason. It says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. See, what Jesus did is He took the veil back and said, hey, there is a right way to live. There is a right and wrong. And He did not, when He went out, He preached, He did not stay away from the idea of sin and the idea that sin separates us from God and that sin is something that needs to be taken care of. And as we follow Christ, what are we immediately telling the world? There is a right and wrong. There are certain things that are objectively right and wrong. There is a right way to go about this life. So we start to think about this, love your enemies. The first thing I think we kind of have to acknowledge is that we will have enemies as servants of Christ. Not that I want enemies, and not that I don't want to live a peaceful life. I do. But as I live the Christian life, and eventually I make a stand on a Christian principle, value, or idea, immediately the enemies will be lining up. And I don't think this Bible hides this idea for a second. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." The idea is that there is going to be some attacks leveled against the Christian as they live the Christian life. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." What's interesting about the terminology in Matthew chapter 5, it says, when they. It's not like this question. If you live the Christian life, if you try to follow Christ to the best of your ability, you are going to find yourself at some point at odds with the world. Not that you don't want to love them, not that you don't want to be kind to them, not that you don't want to help them, but just the idea of acknowledging that Christ is the way is an offensive idea. It's a controversial idea. It's an idea that actually draws a line in the sand. But if you're sitting here this morning and you say you have no enemies, I would suggest to you, you might want to examine your Christian walk. Because this idea of love your enemies, if you fall on this side of the equation where you're like, I don't feel like I have enemies because I'm a very loving, kind, and helpful person, what I'm telling you is the Bible is painting a picture that eventually, at some point in your life, when you take a stand for what is right, when you say, I am going to follow Christ, and I'm not going to perhaps participate in this activity or be engaged in this, you will add some enemies to your list. Certainly not my intention when I go through this life. It's not my goal when I go through this life. But it's a byproduct of living the life, is that by living the Christian life, you're going to put yourself in opposition to the world, and by doing that, your enemies list will grow, even though you're doing those things that are good and right. If you say that you have no enemies, you might want to examine your Christian walk, and particularly the aspect of your Christian walk, which means standing for what's good and right. This does not mean being mean to people. This does not mean to attack people, but what it does mean is that just the mere fact of you saying, I am not going to participate in this activity is going to make you an enemy. You can say it in the nicest possible way you can think of, and you can try to make it as nice as you can, but at the end of the day, when you are in opposition to somebody in relation to morality or something, a lot of times they will become an enemy. In fact, the Bible warns us in other places, ideas that I think fit into this category. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, it says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. I'll repeat that. Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, it says, woe to you, that's a warning, woe to you when all men speak well of you. You know, you think of that. Do all men speak well of me? Do all women, do all individuals in my life speak well of me? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. Is eventually, by standing with Christ, you put yourself in opposition to other individuals. Not that we're trying to be mean, not that we're trying to be unkind, unhelpful, or any of those things, but just the mere fact of following Christ makes many people your enemy. If the whole world is speaking well of you, perhaps you need to examine your Christian walk. You know, it doesn't take much in this politically correct society that we live in to find some enemies very quickly. If you post something like you believe in traditional marriage, whoo, watch the wave come. You know, it's not really that we even have to make any big stances anymore in the society in which we live. Just merely believing and trying to practice Christian things puts you in opposition to many people. So you're like, I need to make some big flashy stand. You don't have to make a big flashy stand. Just by living the Christian life, just by doing things that Christ asks you to do, puts you in opposition to many individuals. In fact, when we look at the way that the Bible frames the Christian life, it really gives us an understanding that by following Christ, by following the path of good, that evil will be in opposition. And they are going to say things about you. They are going to try to do things to you. They're going to gossip. They're going to say all kinds of things just because they know that you stand against them on certain issues. Not that we're trying to be aggressive or attacking in any way, but just the mere fact of you're on this side and I'm on this side makes some enemies. Are we living too much like the world that we've been affected by them? You know, if somebody's not talking behind my back, sometimes I feel like I'm not doing my job. You know, somebody probably should be saying something about the preacher. Did you hear what the preacher said? You know, he said this. Well, is it what the Bible says? You know, I mean, those conversations are good to be had. But you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Exposing the unfruitful works of darkness? You think that's going to win you some friends? In James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, when you think of this, you are going to have some enemies in this life. You kind of get a pick who enemies you're going to have. You can have enemies of the world, or you can have enemies of God. And I can tell you, when I put those equations against, if I have to pick my enemies, I'm going to go with the enemies are going to be the world, and God is going to be my ally, my friend, and the one that I am going to go through life with. Now, this is not to say that I go out and a Christian should go out and try to make enemies. I don't wake up and say, let's see how many enemies I can make today. That's not how I wake up. You know, I wake up with the mentality that I am going to try to live the Christian life. And by default, by trying to live the Christian life, I'm getting enemies as it goes. I think the Christian life is the best life to live. And I think when we conduct ourselves as Christians, it makes it actually hard for people to be outright aggressive enemies against us. Let me give you an example. Is that Christianity will create enemies for you, but by living the Christian life, it is really a life that leads to a lot of peace. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to live a life of complete peace, but I think the Christian life will help you with your enemy problem of the world. Is if I'm nice and I'm kind and I'm considerate and caring to my enemies, it's kind of hard to slap somebody in the face that's doing those type of things. Somebody that is genuinely trying to help and be concerned. In fact, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. I think it certainly helps to live the Christian life. I want to be friends with God. I don't want God to be my enemy. But the reality is, if I'm friends with God, I'm going to have some enemies in the world. But I can help these relationships by being a good Christian. If as I'm a good Christian, as I try to live the Christian life, as I try to live with the Christian example, I try to be helpful, I try to be kind, I try to be caring, I try to do those things, it will actually kind of mend or lessen some of these enemy relationships. Notice how I say not all. Some people are going to be vicious no matter what you do to them. Some people are going to attack you no matter what you do to them. But I do think the Christian life helps. And I think that's the idea we get in 1 Peter chapter 3, is the idea that we should live a good life, that when people do attack us, really, their attacks have no merit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an offense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they, oh, there's those two words again, when they, what are they going to do to us? It says, when they defend you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than doing evil. A Christian should live a life where their conduct is good, where when our enemies do attack us, which they will, that I think other people many times will stand up for us. You know, the enemy will almost be ashamed because they are making an attack and everybody else is like, that's a ridiculous attack. You know, I do have an example of that, but I'll try to say it for a little later on in the lesson when I get to it. But there are times when people will attack you and they'll actually be ashamed because everybody else is like, no, that person's not like that. So certainly, this idea of love your enemies, if you're sitting and you're saying, I don't have any enemies, I'm like, well, I don't know if you're really living the Christian life. I mean, certainly, I'm not telling us not to be loving, kind, caring, compassionate. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying the mere fact of following Christ, you will make enemies. You'll make enemies when you're not even trying. I remember some places, you offend people just by living the Christian life. No, I'm not going to drink. I'm just offended a lot of people, you know. Well, why aren't you drinking? You should be drinking. You know, everybody else is drinking here. Why aren't you drinking? Like, why are you being so attacked? I'm just saying I don't want to drink. By living a Christian life, you're going to be put in situations where you're going to offend, you're going to be perceived as a threat, even when you're not. And people can be very vicious. Just because we live the Christian life and we have a Christian response throughout our life doesn't mean that people aren't going to attack us. I do think it helps. I mean, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he even can make peace with his enemies. And I think it's possible. But I'm not going to say that that's always going to be the result, because we see plenty of examples throughout the Bible. In Psalm 109 verses 2 through 5, it talks about some enemies and how vicious they can be. It says in Psalm 109, verses 2 through 5, it says, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. Thus, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. I tell you, that's a powerful passage, because when you read that, you can almost feel this individual. It's like this individual's like, I'm getting attacked, but I'm not attacking them. It's like I'm trying to give them love, and they're returning with hatred. And I'm just trying to help, and they're accusing me of these things. They fight with me without a cause, an exchange of evil for good. You know, I think we can live the Christian life and we can respond in the correct way, but it doesn't mean that the world is going to stop with their attacks. I think it can help, but I don't think it's going to stop. So like I said, there's two parts of this equation. It says, love your enemies. And I think some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we struggle with the enemy part. I believe it's in Galatians, Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. If some of us struggle with that Christian idea that we will have enemies, some of us don't want enemies. Well, I don't want enemies either. But you understand that just by living the Christian life, if you are going to gather some enemies, we have some brothers and sisters in Christ that say, I'm going to go throughout this life. I'm never going to have an enemy. I'm never going to offend anyone. I'm never going to ever be in opposition to somebody. I'm never going to offend somebody. And it's just not possible if you live the Christian life. At some point, you will make a stand, and as soon as you make a stand, you're going to make an enemy. And that enemy might vary between degrees. And certainly, we're to love our enemies, and that's the other part that we're going to do next. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ struggle with enemies. They struggle with taking a stand, because when they take a stand, they know that they're going to make some enemies, and sometimes that's a challenge. Number two, we're going to go to the other side now. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ struggle with enemies because they don't want to take a stand. But some of our other brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes they struggle with the love part. They struggle with the love part. See, the Christian response when we start reading through the Bible to our enemies is very clear as well. The Bible is very clear that we are going to gain enemies throughout this life, but the Bible is very clear on our response to our enemies as they are gained. How are we to treat our enemies? And certainly Christ is very consistent, and he really gives a very different solution than that which the world would give. It's very, very tempting to return evil for evil. But if you turn over to Romans chapter 12, there's a big passage there, and I think it really lays out the Christian response to their enemies. But it says, it's very tempting to return evil for evil. When somebody attacks you in some way, it's very tempting to attack back. It's very tempting to strike back. And certainly, we have to take a stand. But there is a difference between taking a stand and attacking. And that is a line that people need to work out, and they need to study God's Word and find where those lines are. But Romans chapter 12, we'll pick up in verse 17. It says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. By doing so, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think you could have an hour-long, multiple hour-long Bible study on Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. It's like every sentence is a whole new idea that you could address absolutely separately. You have the very first idea, you know, it's very tempting to return someone evil for evil, but that's not what the Bible says in that very first verse in verse 17. And then this idea of no vengeance, no revenge. The Bible says no vengeance, no revenge. It gives us the idea of waiting on God, waiting on the wrath of God, is that we shouldn't be taking out vengeance on other people. And we see a replacement. Is that when someone does something to us evil, the replacement is not evil, the replacement is good. We see the replacement of good being put in there. And really, after you read that whole passage, you come to God's solution, which is a very strange solution if you look at it from a physical and worldly view sometimes. God's solution is to overcome evil with what? Good. That's not the solution of the world. Tick, tack. You know, hit that. You know, back and forth, back and forth. We're going to keep going back and forth until the whole relationship is over, until everything is degraded into the lowest form it can possibly go into. But that's not what the Bible says. It says, overcome evil with good. The revenge is not the way we should go. Returning evil for evil is not the exchange that we should be making. It's very tempting, though. I think it's very tempting for many. Return evil for evil. In fact, I don't think we have to look too far in our society where we see that that's almost become very common practice. Evil for evil, evil for evil, evil for evil. That's not the exchange of a Christian. The exchange of a Christian is, you give me some evil, I'm going to return you some good. I'm going to raise you some good. That's certainly a challenge. Like I said to start this lesson, there are many challenges of the Christian life. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22, it says, do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. Well, recompense, we don't use that a whole lot. What's that idea? It's basically, don't compensate. It says, do not say, I will compensate evil. Don't say that you're going to take care of the evil. Wait for the Lord. And that's exactly what it says in Romans chapter 12. It tells us to wait for the Lord. The Lord will take care of revenge. He'll take care of vengeance. The job of the Christian is to receive the evil and to return it with good. Treating your enemies, by the way, is not easy. When someone's doing evil to you, or perhaps even worse sometimes to a loved one, it gets tempting. Very tempting. And we probably all have situations in our lives that we can relate to very quickly. And I'll go back to that story. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that a Christian should be conducting themselves good, basically, at all times, that when your enemies come and they make an accusation, that the enemy can be ashamed. And my wife taught public school for a few years, and she's got, I would say, pretty publicly attacked on social media. I tell you, there's not been too many times in my life, you know, start pictures in, you know, like, you know, a lot of bad thoughts kind of start creeping in. You know, I mean, they're attacking my wife, right there, social media, I mean, as public as can be. And I tell you, to this day, you know, I'm not perfect. There's a lot of things I got to work on. I got to work on forgiveness. I got to work on a lot of these things. But they were attacking her, and it was a hard kind of week for me, and she calmed me down more than anything else. But how could they say this? You know, the funny thing is it worked out over the course of a week. Because I think my wife's character stood by itself. Because as the week went on, the accusations dissipated. Nothing was done. Nothing happened. There was nothing to be done because nothing did happen. But see, we live the Christian life. It doesn't mean that it eliminates the attack. I think that we can keep the attack down and we can try to be at peace with our neighbor. But to say the attack will never come is not the truth. The attack will come. And when the attacks do come, we have to make sure that we handle those in a Christian way. But the problem is that it's very hard in the moment. But you think if you exchange evil for evil, doesn't that make you just like your enemy? Right, you're just like the world. We're trying to follow Christ, and when they give us evil, we say, hey, here's some evil right back to you. You give me some, I give you some. That's not the Christian way. That's not what was painted out in the scriptures. This idea of when they give you some evil, you return some good. Makes us more like the world than perhaps sometimes we care to admit. Using good to conquer evil is quite an idea. To not take revenge and wait on the Lord is quite an idea. Certainly, I want to live peaceable with all individuals. And certainly, I think I try to do that, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to come under attack at some point. But isn't Christ the perfect example of this? Is that when the world gives you evil, give them some good? I just think of the path to the cross. Talk about a whole lot of evil. Talk about some verbal evil that's thrown at Jesus Christ our Savior. Talk about some physical things that are thrown at Jesus Christ our Savior. Talk about the spit. Talk about the beating. Talk about the words that are said to Jesus. And what does He return to them? The greatest gift of all. You're talking about loving your enemies. We don't have to go much farther than Jesus Christ. If Jesus acknowledged He had enemies, not only did He acknowledge He had enemies, but He certainly gave them as much love, care that He could. He didn't let them get by with sin. He definitely acknowledged the sin in their lives and that it was a problem, but certainly He was expressing love, He was expressing concern, He was expressing care. But Christ is certainly a perfect example of this. Can we take God's advice? You know, many times we don't take advice of other individuals. Will we take the advice of our Lord, where we can see in the scriptures that His tool is good to conquer evil? Have we abandoned the advice of God? It is not pleasant to suffer persecution. It is not pleasant to endure insults. It's not pleasant to accept any type of physical persecution from an enemy. It's very tempting to retaliate. And you know what's even more tempting sometimes, and you may have caught yourself in the trap as I have from time to time, which I don't like to admit, but I would be lying if these thoughts haven't creeped into my mind, is that when something bad happens to our enemy, what's our first reaction a lot of times? Yes, that's not what the Bible tells us our reaction should be. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 17, it says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles." The Lord does not want us to rejoice when our enemies go through hardships, when they go through pain, when they're stumbling themselves. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but that's quite a test. And actually, it might be the perfect test. Is that when your enemy is in need, when your enemy needs help, when your enemy's down on their luck, if you, when your enemy stumbles with happiness and joy, or do you and your enemy fall as a great opportunity? A great opportunity to extend a helpful hand, to do exactly as Christ did, extended a helpful hand to his enemies. Do you think that would change your relationship with your enemies? You had an enemy in your life that had personally attacked you and done all these things to you, and you hear through the grapevine, oh, that person, your enemy, that's been attacking you, doing all these things to you, they're kind of down on their luck. They need some help. They need some assistance. Do you think they'd be surprised if you showed up? Do you think that might change the relationship that you have with that individual if you would just take on the simple ideas that the Bible lays forth? Love your enemies. Do not return evil for evil, but return evil with good. Certainly that would change some relationships. Perhaps next time we see an enemy fall, we can view it as a great opportunity to our Christianity to do good in place of evil. You know, Jesus is known for his hard teachings. There's many times where his apostles are listening to what he says and they say, that's a hard saying. Who can follow this? Who can do this? And certainly we have God on our side, and he will help us along the way. But we're trying to do a little balancing today. Because love your enemies. I think there's people that struggle with enemies because they don't want to make any enemies in this life. But the reality is, if you're a Christian and you make a stand, you will have some enemies. But we have some Christians that struggle on this other side of love. What do you mean? What do these individuals look like? These individuals, what they look like is they are very quick to make a stand. In fact, some of these people we admire greatly. But they make such a firm stand, they make such a serious stand, they're so focused on the stand that they forget to love. They're like, I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, yeah, I agree, you shouldn't do that. But they are so stuck in their stand, and they are so firm in that decision, which is great, that they actually forget to love. They're like, I'm making a stand against my enemies. This isn't hard for me. I'm going to walk into this place. Everybody else is going to be doing this. I'm going to walk in. I'm not going to be affected. I'm going to make a stand. And they make a stand. But where's the love? Love your enemies. Some of brothers and sisters in Christ struggle with the stand. Some of brothers and sisters in Christ don't struggle as much with the stand, but they struggle with keeping the love as they make the stand. We've got to find the balance, brothers and sisters in Christ, and perhaps you fall more towards one end or the other, and certainly I would admit that I fall more close to one end than the other, and we have to kind of be introspective and think about ourselves and kind of where we fall, but we've got to find the balance, because certainly there's got to be love, and certainly there has to be some enemies. There's got to be both. We have no enemies, then who are we loving? I mean, we certainly need to love everybody, but love your enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, we've been there a good bit today, but Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 43, we'll start to read some of that passage. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There in Matthew chapter 5, it's kind of a repetition of what we were reading in Luke, but this idea of if we love the people that love us, we're just like the world. If you love people that love you, you're just like the world. But the Christian is called to a different walk, a different path, a narrow path that we read about in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, to try to live a life pursuing Christ and his perfect example. But if we love those who love us, Do we fall into that trap that we just love those who love us? Our close inner web of those people that are close that we have relationships with, we love those individuals, they love us. But when it comes to our enemies, do we return love to them? Love your enemies. Certainly there might be some people that say, I have no enemies. If you say you have no enemies, what I would suggest to you is perhaps you've never made a stand. Perhaps you've never had a bold moment in your spiritual life. Perhaps you haven't been courageous in your spiritual life. These are things that we have to do from time to time. Perhaps you're on that side of the spectrum. You don't necessarily struggle with the love, kindness. You're a great, loving, and kind person, but you just struggle sometimes with taking that stand because you know that stand will make some enemies. But perhaps you fall on the other side. You fall on the other side where you acknowledge your enemies and really you don't have any issue with your enemies. You just let that kind of roll off your back and you've got no issue with that. But when you make those stands, which you're very good at making those stands, somehow you get lost in your stands and you forget to love those people that are in your life. Certainly as Christians we need to make a stand, but certainly as Christians we have to keep the love. And if we don't do those two things, I think we're missing out on love your enemies. Loving our enemies and treating them with kindness does not mean that we violate the truth. We can't do this. Loving our enemies and treating them with kindness does not mean that we just give them a pass and their relationship with sin. But also, we can't forget if when we make those stands, we cannot forget to love those individuals. To show our kindness, our compassion, and our concern for those individuals. It's a balance. And I'm not saying I have that balance down quite yet. I think all of us kind of lean towards one side or the other. Some of us don't want to make a stand because we know it's going to offend individuals. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And then some of us struggle with the other one is we're very quick to make a stand, but somehow we get emotionally de-attached, where we leave out the love, we leave out the concern, we leave out the compassion, we leave out the kindness. You know, in reality, you can't be a friend of all. And sometimes you might feel you're on the other side of the spectrum where you're an enemy of all. The Christian life is not either of those. The Christian life is not a friend to all. It's not an enemy to all. And you're like, whoa, friends. Well, if you remember, James chapter 4 and verse 4, it talks about us being a friend of the world. If we're a friend of the world, we're an enemy of God. You cannot be a friend of all. But certainly as Christians, we cannot necessarily be an enemy of all either. If there's a balance that must be found, a balance that we must try to find, and a balance that we must try to practice to the best of our ability. So certainly isn't God the perfect example of this, loving your enemies. You know, the trip to the cross, everything that he goes through, everything he endures, certainly it would be very tempting to say a word back, or perhaps lash out in some way, but that's not what he did. He took the evil and he returned them with good, one of the greatest blessings. He loved us when we were his enemies. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved his enemies, and he loved his enemies with no partiality. Did Jesus pick and choose when he was going to the cross? I'm going to die for this person. I'm not going to die for this person. This person just sat on me. I'm not going to die for them. You know, this person just hit me. I'm not going to die for them. No, he loved with no partiality. He went to the cross understanding that many people would unfortunately reject his saving message. He understood that many people were going to return his good with evil, as we see the psalmist write in Psalm 109. But he did it anyway. And certainly that's an example and a challenge for any Christian to love our enemies. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian today. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. Nothing will make us happy if you come as we stand and as we sing.